call to order the meeting of the Oceana Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for May 25th, 2005. Welcome to everyone who's here. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President
Hill. Here.
Vice President Mann.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Please join me in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. That brings us to item three on the agenda, board member items for discussion. Barbara, I understand you have one?
Yeah. On President Hill, on administrative items D, where it says discussion regarding the San Luis County Zone 1-1A, I would like that to be an action item so that rather than just a discussion, so that we can, as a board, if we agree, send a letter to the county. How do we do that?
It already is. It's on the agenda.
The little star said discussion.
No. Oh, right, but that means there's no staff report.
I would think it'd be county maintained. I guess I'll save other comment until the weed abatement comes up on the regular agenda. But we have been told that there's some rather unsightly weeds there, so we might investigate some things we can do about that. And I'll save other comment until meeting discussions later on. So that brings us to item four, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. We'll listen to all communication. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on anything that's not on the agenda. And please limit your presentation to 3 minutes if possible. Max?
Max Padilla, O'Shannel. members of the board, I'm here today to ask you to continue to support the community center. There has been word out in town that there's people who are trying to distract the progress of the community center, and there are a minority. This center has been built, it's going forward, and I think it's time that the community get behind it and show the board members that the community wants this community center built and get it open as soon as possible. They have mentioned to me to bring it to before you, to ask you to support it, and to have no doubt that the people are behind you 100% to get this community opened.
Thank you. Other public comment?
I'm Janet Padilla, Shiano. President Hill, members of the board, I have heard that there is people creating problems for the community center to be open. Please, Mr. Hill and members of the board, let's help this community center to be open. Don't forget, this community center is the best project for Oceano. This community center is for families, is for the kids. They are the future of Oceano. The community center will help the kids to be busy and stay out of trouble. If there has been problems in the past, put them behind us and move forward. President Hill, a lot of people of Oceano, including myself, we are very proud of you, and please continue doing the good work.
Thank you. Other comment?
My name is Emery Hagan. I'm a resident of Oceano, and I live in the Seneca Seabreeze Senior Mobile Home Park. And I'm here today because I saw on your agenda that you will discuss the Zone 1-1A possible state takeover from the county for the maintenance of Rio Grande Creek. I'm sure I don't have to tell you the consequences of this. It's often said that the best government is that government that is closest to its constituents, and that, folks, is you. we need your help on this. It's going to be absolutely devastating if the Board of Supervisors go through and turn the maintenance over to the state. The state, if you've been reading the documents, has begged them not to do it. They've told them that the costs, because they have to come 360 miles from Sacramento and pay their employees $124 a day per diem, the costs will just skyrocket. It's like giving the state a blank check. And the state said, no, don't do it. Be careful. Be sure that you inform all of the people that are involved in this. And, folks, I don't think they did it. Now, this action was taken in a consent amendment over 2 years ago. And the first time, I'll give you the exact date. It was April 1st, 2003, on the consent agenda with no input. It wasn't even on the regular agenda, so anyone would have a chance to contest it. What I'm here to ask you is, would you please either write a letter or pass a resolution in the strongest word that you can dig up and ask the county not to go through with this, because there are a lot of senior citizens that live in the mobile home parks here. They're living paycheck to paycheck, that's Social Security paycheck, and they have to make a decision each month whether they're going to have...
Tell me, what are we going to do? Start letting these kids just get in trouble and continue in trouble in juvenile and everything else and get in bed with the law and everything else because we have to do what we think, not what we need? I think it's time that we start doing what we need and not what we think. We need to start getting and protecting these children. These are us community. These are our children. Not only mine, everybody's. Everybody's. The whole community kids belong to us. You guys's. Okay? You are representing the community. This is, over here, your responsibility of all this community. That's why you're there. And we're here to back you up. Well, I'm here to back up our children. The community has to stay and has to be open, or else we're going to have nothing but a delinquent camp. Our children. And of course, the parents are going to be blamed for it. And not only the parents, the teachers, but I'm going to blame you guys. Because we do need that community center. I already told you that one time. It's up to you if you care enough for the community, or we're just here to look cute or beautiful, or just sit there and say, well, we vote against it, we vote against it, because it's not what the community says, it's what you guys say. I'm tired of listening to you guys that we go here and we try to do, I've been trying my best to get kids to come to the fire department to get this training, okay? I am trying to clear up my community, but I do need your help, and this community is our help for our children. So what are we going to do about it? May I have a response from somebody, please?
I think the board has generally supported the community center as a whole for some period of time. I may have some comment about one of the directors' meetings when we discuss meetings that the various directors have attended, but to the best of my understanding, and I think Vern usually is recused because he lives close to the project and is prevented by conflict of interest laws from participating in the discussion, but my impression is that most of the rest of the board is in support. Is that fair statement.
Yeah. Okay. To begin with, who was the one that approved for it to be built there? Because it was in the community. Who approved it to be built there? Who went into all this trouble to have it then and now fighting not to keep it? That should have been before it was built, not now. It's already too late. What are we going to do? Spend more money, move it, tear it apart, put it someplace else? What is going to be done? Because one of you guys is, or all of you guys is, or whoever is here, doesn't want noise. The other one is this, the other one is that. Excuse me, we have to pay a price, or our children are going to pay it. Okay? We're going downhill, they're coming up. They are our future. We have to look for the future, regardless if they're your kids or not. I know very well that these kids need some place. Okay? We're starting, maybe pretty soon, a place for them to play football, a place for them to play soccer from other sources. But what are we doing? What is it that you people want for the community? I'm still trying to know, I'm still trying to figure it out, what is it that you people want for the community? What is it that we want? What we think or what we need? Keep that in mind. The future of our children is in our hands. Not mine, all of us. The whole community has to get together and take care of our little ones. They're coming up. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonia. Other public comment? Mary?
Of what I'm going to touch on today. My name is Mary Lucy. I live in Oceano. Happy resident of Oceano. I'm just going to read my testimony instead of trying. However, we will keep reminding you that you are elected officials. Having said that, I do believe that some or all the following issues are within your reach. The community should be offered free water first, before it is given to municipalities that cannot live within their allotment, such as Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. The people of Oceano were not offered free water. Instead, our neighbors were. And you'll be offered an explanation of that. One is a hypothetical explanation, and one is an actual estimation of how much money we saved. What we saved is purely hypothetical, which means that it's a hypothesis. It's not real. It could become real, but it's only a guesstimate at this point. The residents in Oceano should not have to pay for fire services on a state-owned beach. The state of California collects the access fees for the beach. Therefore, the state of California should maintain any cost associated with recreating on a state-owned beach. Stop the mismanagement of tax, water, and sewer funds. If you take the time to read contracts and agreements and so-called gentlemen's agreements, you will repeatedly find Oceano, OCSD, has underestimated the cost of services. One example is cost of administrative services. It costs money to run an office. You cannot submit a budget with a cut in administrative and not include it in another budget, which we, the people, continually have to pay for administrative costs. And we should probably look at posting our water rates on our water bills and breakdown of usage and so forth. As the board begins to review management employment contracts, I, Mary Lucy, ask you to consider creating a management evaluation instrument, a way for you to evaluate how management is ran in this district.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Excuse me. Please don't interrupt the speaker.
Under that, these are only my opinions, but these are a few things that you might want to consider in your evaluation tool. How well has the GM spent taxpayers' money? How much has basic services gone up under the current GM? How much has been wasted on unnecessary business trips, cell phones, expense accounts that are billed to credit cards, surveys, and unnecessary studies? And last but not least, willingness to collaborate with surrounding areas to cut costs of services such as fire services, weed abatement, flood cleanup, and others. The management and the OCSD need to consider a few basic principles to be elected or to hold a management position in our district. I suggest the following. A general manager must live in Oceano. How can you properly manage a district without living in it? A GM must demonstrate fiscal accountability. A GM should not blame all financial outcomes on the board of OCSD. The board hired the GM to advise them on issues that are considered what's best for OCSD, not to trap and blame and pass the buck to the board when speaking with the media. As we meet, the U.S. Congress is discussing ways of controlling the movement of sexual predators in the United States. And I ask that we align ourselves with the U.S. Senate and that we do not allow this type of behavior in Oceana. We have children, we have a community center being built, and there is no room for any sexual predators in this area. And with the prison systems the way they are, I think you need to take a policy and a position on that, because we do have a lot of prisons in this area. All as we ask is that you do the right thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other public comment?
Mary Lucy, will you shut that door? The mosquitoes are coming.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, Mark Wampler, Oceano. Hold on a second. The OCCI had put on a district calendar right here in the hall recently a scheduled board meeting. A few of us were interested in attending. However, when it became apparent that no one showed up from the board, we wondered what had happened. However, we noticed that one of our directors was sitting in the parking lot. We had hoped that maybe she would have joined us, since after the OCCI meeting, another district committee meeting was to convene. We thought it strange that when no one showed up for the OCCI board meeting, that she left the parking lot. And some of us got the feeling that for some strange reason, the possibility that the OCCI meeting was reconvened at another location, that crossed our minds. Well, this comes as no surprise, because I can recall the OCCI meeting that I attended last month. When I showed up with my video camera, I was promptly told that I was forbidden to tape the meeting. I responded with the fact that this boardroom right here is designed for public meetings, and as most of us know here, that close to $2 million in public and taxpayer benefits have already gone into the community center already. I felt that I needed to reaffirm to Mrs. Brackett that this was, in fact, a public meeting, and I set up and I did take that meeting. If it's publicly funded, then it is public business. Now, doesn't it seem really strange that when we try to ask some honest questions, that we are somehow made to think that we are being combative or disruptive? It's our money, and it should be made public, don't you think? The first thing I'm looking for after I pass by, if I was a first-time viewer of that building, I'm looking for the parking lot. Well, there's not much of a parking lot. The county, as far as I understand, has backed away from the possibility of running the community center It's going to fall into our laps, and I think the rest of the community needs to ask simple questions. And let me just add that that is an awesome big building up there, and I would like to see it redeemed. The actions of this board, of the OCCI board, have been very, very questionable. I made the comment in past that if this was the YMCA doing this up here, there wouldn't be no discussion. We would have a time-proven organization that knows how to run things like this. They would already have a program for youth. Right now, we don't know all these things. These are questions that we've been asking for many, many years. We still don't have very many answers. That's all. We're just asking questions. And once again, I'm just a casual observer. And secondly, I have a question about this weed abatement notice. Now, this is pretty much a standard thing that happens every year in order to make our fire season safe here for our community.
Could I make a request, Mark, on this one, that we hold this comment until we bring up the...
I'm terribly sorry. You're correct on that. It is agendized, and forgive me, you're correct on that. Okay, I'll end my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there other public comment? Nina
Grabiello, Oceano. Since we're on the topic of the community center building, I just want to say that, you know, the building's there, and we should just, you know, go ahead and do what we need to do to finish it and use it. But I do want to let the board know that I really think that building is a total eyesore. It's overbuilt. It's way overbuilt, so it's probably way over budget for what this community needed. And whoever was on the board at the time that approved that really did a disservice to the public, because as far as I'm concerned, you know, that place should be like in L.A. or something. You know, it's just too big of a structure. It's like a monument to somebody's ego is what that is. It's really not, you know, it's really not built for the community. You know, you could have done something a much smaller scale that would have probably provided a lot more services in the long run. And plus all that extra money that you spent on building, you could have probably put into programs. And, you know, you guys blew it. You had a bunch of money to do something good, and you just, the people who are here long-term, people on the board, you guys blew it big time. And I'm really disappointed, and I'm not going to trust any of your decisions in the future, because you've shown yourselves to be incompetent. You can't handle it.
Other public comment?
Is there someone else that needs to be accommodated, perhaps from their seat, that I could take the microphone to?
I'll go after you, Peg.
Okay. I didn't come tonight intending... I'm sorry, President Hill, Peggy Wilson, Oceano. In the 15 years I've lived here, I've seen a lot of kids grow up. I've seen a lot of changes, and I've seen many good things occur. I see strong families, I see healthy values, and I believe those are what makes a good community. I believe tolerance is taught by example, and the people who have to live with the very real consequences of this project deserve tolerance and concern for the quality of their lives just as much as everyone else in the community. And because these are often adults and families who are the providers for our children, we need to understand and tolerate and work with these concerns, because there is no free lunch, as much as we'd all like that to happen. And the people who are asking questions about the community center are being unfairly painted by people who don't seem to want to acknowledge that there are all kinds of people affected by this project. I think that a lot of folks, including myself, have put a lot of work into seeing that Oceano could have a community center of its own. But this project has many problems, and I've worked for this project, and I understand about this project, but because maybe I've had a closer look at it than some people who speak so passionately, I know that these questions are going to have to be answered. And there will come a time where we hit the wall as a community with this project. So those who are asking questions are asking justified and realistic questions, because this project will define the future of our community. And it's not enough to give kids a place to, quote, hang out after school. You have to give them a livable community to grow up and raise their children in. Now, I'd like to change the subject. I wonder, President Hill, since you seem to be kind of the science guy among us, if you would work with me sometime on a formula that could demonstrate the curious time inversion that takes place when you're sitting in that seat. 3 minutes is the longest period of your life. When you're standing at the podium, 3 minutes is sort of like 14 seconds. And that's a universal thing wherever public bodies meet. I want to thank your board. Every time I go anywhere, somebody says to me, I've seen you on television. And that means AGP Video is making us look good. And I even got some fan mail this week. So I want to thank you once again for that. And in terms of the public and how it perceives us and sees our face, we live in a small community. And some of the folks that serve on the SAND district run across some of us who do other pursuits in the community. And it has come to my attention through two separate sources this week that there have been at least there's been someone from this board criticizing President Hill. And I want to bring this up because that person voted for President Hill to be our board president, and I'm very, very grateful. And when we, any of us, speak about President Hill in ways that don't show respect, it reflects on those of us who voted you all into the seats that you now occupy, and I don't think that's what you want. Jim's a tremendous asset to the district. Pardon me, President Hill, for speaking about you as though you're not here and in the third person, but you hit the ground running. You've been a tremendous, effective board member since you took office, and your performance thus far has been a real credit to the community. We've been wisely reminded by Director Mann on a number of occasions that teamwork on the board is important, and since she was responsive enough to her constituency to help put you in that seat, I'm going to use her wise words to remind us all tonight that we owe you a lot of respect, and we thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you. Other public comment? Hearing none?
I have.
I'm sorry, Barbara.
May I sit here, please? In response to one of the statements during public comment, that one of the directors, she was sitting in her car during a meeting. Yes, I was sitting out there waiting for the next meeting. I had no intention of coming to the OCCI meeting. I didn't know that they weren't here. Well, I did when I saw you people making notice of it. I didn't know where they met. I didn't care. And unfortunately, I had... Would it be appropriate, and I don't know, maybe we'd have to ask legal counsel, if they had an extra one of those to have out at the counter so when people came in, if they were interested in signing it? Is that a no-no, or?
I don't think there's any problem with having it there. I'm not sure about having district staff participate in advocacy with regard to it.
There's a bulletin board out there. What if we put a little note on that bulletin board and set it on the table?
I don't think there's any problem with actually having it physically present. The issue is having staff participate in advocacy with regard to it.
Just a thought that there is some walk-in traffic here that perhaps those people would be interested in signing it.
Excuse me, Mr. President, but I have a petition here also, and I'm going to have it at the store. For those who are interested, we're sending people over to the store to sign this petition.
Thank you, Max. A Okay, we'll move on to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes. First item is 5A, the minutes of April 13th. Is there any comment or questions on the April 13th minutes? Any comment from the public on April 13th minutes? Hearing none, I guess we'll look for a motion to approve.
Also moved.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Angelo that we approve the minutes of the April 13th meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, Director Bookout seconded that. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Vice President Mann.
Abstain.
Please.
You need to abstain.
Okay, I abstain. I wasn't here.
Okay, I note that Vice President Mann and Director Donald abstained, and the three remaining directors have approved that with no abstentions or with no unanimous among the remaining three. Brings us to the May 11th minutes. Any comments or questions on that?
Weren't these the ones that we were supposed to attach something to? This was right?
No, I think that issue is still coming up today. And
no, but didn't we ask last week when?
I believe you're right.
You gave us stuff, I believe, and I thought that that would have. Did we direct or?
The only thing I recall was the public records we request.
But didn't we ask that that be attached to this? Maybe I'm having a senior moment, I don't know.
There was one set of minutes that were supposed to be attached, and seemed to, these things have been carried forward for 2 and 3 meetings, so I really don't know which ones they were.
I recall the records request. Was that intended to be an attachment?
I think it was public comment.
I believe it was. It was a request to the district, not necessarily an attachment to the minutes.
All right.
In my recollection, but I could be wrong. Any other comment or questions from the board? Hearing none, public comment on this item?
Yes, President Hill, Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I concur with Director Mann's memory of the events of May 11th. In point of fact, item 10B, I did submit a written request, a written California Public Records Act request that was submitted to your board. And I would ask that that be reflected by having them attached, having that record, having that written submission attached to the record. And I also would like to move your board's attention back to item 5A and state that.
I'm sorry, 5A on?
5A on May 11th.
On the May 11th minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Item 4. The oral testimony presented on behalf of Helen Giebler, I would respectfully ask that it include the words to reflect that her concern, that the statement that I read into the record for her, I would like her statement to be
acceptable if we change the word concerning to opposing?
Yes, I believe so.
Would that?
Yes, thank you.
Clarify the intent?
Yes, I believe so in a very efficient manner.
Could I request the secretary to make that change to the minutes if that's acceptable to the board members?
Is there any attachments that wanted to be included with this then? Maybe we can table this and have it read. Typed and come back later? Or would that be easier?
It's fine.
Just just as a matter of clarification, the minutes are designed to reflect what happened at the meeting. I'm a little bit troubled about the idea of attaching written comments that come in weeks later to the minutes of the meeting of May 11th, because it doesn't really reflect what happened at the meeting. The minutes should reflect that.
Okay.
The attachment being requested was the public records request that was made during that meeting. Is that, would that be appropriate to attach to this?
I don't see any great harm in it. I don't think it's necessary, because a Public Records Act request is something that's provided to typically the staff, although it could be a board member.
She gave it to.
Right, I recall. I don't see any great harm in it. I don't think it's at all necessary. I could be wrong, but I believe Ms. Wilson is asking for two things. One having to do with Ms. Giebler's comments that she conveyed to you, and the other having to do with the Public Records Act, which happened at two different times in the meeting. Is that correct?
Yes. And if I may?
Ms. Wilson, yes, please.
I am asking that the public records request that I submitted that night be included in this record per the board's recent policy change. And I think council is probably right about going back and adding Ms. Giebler's written testimony to this actual point in the agenda. I think the proper place would be to have it in the clerk's file, and I would be grateful if it just reflected in the minutes that she opposed the tax. I believe counsel is correct, but I do stress that I would like my Public Records Act attached to the May 11th minutes as presented. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we... your suggestion, Vern, was that we have it retyped and come back. Is that?
Well, we can. We have basically a couple different actions. We can not attach that request and have it as part of the file, and just have a note in the next minutes that the word should be changed on here as a note in the next minutes, or we can table this and have staff retype it with that word change and have that attachment come back at the next meeting. And either way is, I guess, you know, whichever the board feels is, yeah, either way is an appropriate way to go.
Anyone have a particular point of view?
I think, as the attorney pointed out, we can change this wording and then just have the attachment put in the clerk's file. That'd be adequate. So I'll make that motion.
Okay, so you're moving to approve the minutes of May 11th, the correction on item 4, to change the word concerning to opposing.
Right.
And that the Public Records Act request be put in the clerk's file.
Correct.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Angelo, seconded by Director Bookout. Any other discussion from the...
We're still in public comment.
Public comment, Nina?
Yeah, I just wanted... What is your method or protocol for having comments attached to the minutes or statements attached to the minutes?
That is currently being modified, and it's one of the items on the agenda for later.
Okay, so even though you're taking action on something now, you're going to be modifying it later this meeting.
Well, this item is, in order to change our minutes, we have to, or to change one of our protocols, we have to notice that, announce it at a subsequent meeting, and then we can adopt it. So the status of how we approve minutes is currently in that process, so it's kind of in a limbo right now.
Okay, so I can address this later on.
We're using the previous existing rules, but there's a notice change that appears later on the agenda.
Well, what are the previous existing rules to that?
The County Dunes State Vehicular Recreation Area. Mitch, would you care to comment on this one?
This item was before your board at one previous time.
the attorney for the State Department of Parks and Recreation who prepared it wasn't aware of some of the general services, State of California general services requirements that needed to be in every contract in the state. I've gone through those changes. It basically says that we have to have a drug-free workplace. I've checked our employee pamphlet, you know, the documents that people sign when they come out as employees, and that, you know, all these things that are required in here have been covered. I made sure that we had all those provisions covered, the things they asked for. It didn't change any of the responsibilities under the agreement. It just changed some wording and put in the terms that are required by the State Department of General Services. What this contract will do will allow the district to purchase a Type 4 vehicle. The state will provide $50,000 toward the purchase of the 75.
I'm sorry, we can't hear back here. I apologize. Hold the mic.
Did that help?
I don't know. I'm talking to my.
The state of California will provide $50,000 for the purchase of the $75,000 vehicle.
Okay. Is there any comment or questions from the board?
This is something the fire committee looked at, and we're prepared to support this resolution.
It's sound good.
Other comments? I have a couple. I was the one member that voted against this proposal the first time, and I again have concerns with it. The I note on the liability that the district here, that this, there's all kinds of hold harmless clauses in item 7, liability waiver and indemnity, which is not the state's standard GTC 304. It's actually got a paragraph here that supersedes the GTC 304, and it says that OCSD is basically solely liable for anything that could possibly happen with this vehicle. And if it was operated in town here, I would understand that. But this also appears to me to hold forth when the vehicle's being used on the beach. And a couple of things occur to me. One, that $7,000 a year, which is effectively what this nets to the district, is pretty cheap insurance for the state to avoid all liability in terms of rescue response and fire response on the beach. You probably couldn't purchase an insurance policy for that little. And I believe that the impact of the beach and our response, the impact on the community and our citizens, is greater than the value received here. And on principle, again, I'm going to oppose this. But, that's my feeling on it. Any other comments from directors?
I'd like to ask the attorney, is there a change in the amount, in what the state's liability is with this vehicle as opposed to any of our other vehicles, or before or after this contract?
Well, it's our vehicle, and mm-hmm. So as a practical matter, we're responsible for it anytime we use it anywhere. I think the portion of President Hill's comment that has some validity is that we are committing to respond to calls on the beach where we might not otherwise respond. That's the price you pay for the grant to get the vehicle. But there are, I'll defer to the general manager, but I believe there's already some arrangements for us under mutual aid where we're required to respond to those sorts of calls anyway. It's just that we didn't have perhaps as suitable a vehicle as this one might be. I want to make one other point, too, and it's just a small point. The agenda shows this as Resolution 2005-14. The staff report and the actual resolution have it as 2005-12. I consider that an inconsequential matter, but I just wanted to get it for the record.
Do we have a real number?
14 is the real number. 14 is the right number?
Yeah.
We could do the job, no problem about it. We could do the job better and safer for our firefighters.
Well, my point was you're going to be going in either this vehicle or one of the vehicles that we currently have.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be liable either way.
Well, you know, this is
good drivers.
This is our beach here, and I use the beach down there. So if we were to have an accident down there and say I was involved, I would like to see our fire department get to my vehicle if it's on fire with me inside in a timely response. And same with tourists that come to our community. Oceano, it's Oceano Dunes Beach, it's our town. Taking care of that, we're going to be there anyways. Let's do it with the proper equipment. This is the proper equipment. Meeting with Sam Blakesley up in Sacramento a week or so ago, we brought this to his attention. And future things which will be taking place, that we're trying to get some money from the state for an impact fee that we can come in there. It's all working with the state. It's all developing Oceano for the future. And our fire department does go to the beach, but we need to make an effort to go there properly.
Well, I think that this is, you know, this is actually the first time the state is now stepping in and starting to recognize and see that we do, that we, you know, we are paying for their fire protection, and this is the beginning or the an attempt to start compensating the community here for some of its expenses. I would hate to see us to sever any kind of relationship that we've been building toward, trying to recognize this inconsistency. So I think, you know, I think that it's good that they are giving us this money to go in this direction. I'm sorry. That's all.
Okay. Sarah, any comment from the public on this item?
Karen White, representing Halcyon. At one of the fire tax meetings, the fire department said that they only respond to the beach for fires and for rescues where they might need the jaws of life or something like that, that they didn't routinely go to every accident. My question is, if this is going to increase the number of calls the fire department will be taking on the beach, will be accepting for the beach?
The answer to that is no. This agreement is based upon the 2001 September 12th. I'm looking for the date, the exact date. September 12th, 2001, we entered into an automatic aid agreement. This agreement or memo of understanding does not change any of the responsibilities that we have under that 2001. It doesn't increase them. It doesn't decrease them. It just memorializes those responsibilities that we accepted on September 12, 2001 as an automatic aid, not only with the State Beach or Department of California, Department of Forestry, but also with the other communities, Aurora Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach. So it does not change our responsibilities or what we're going to do.
Would we not be responding farther out on the beach, which means that we might respond to perhaps additional calls that we aren't responding to now?
Well, that's possible. I mean, you know, that's subjective. The other issue is that we do not have to respond, and we won't respond. And I wish Mike was here to be able to state this, but we will not respond if it depletes our community of resources. Before our fire department crosses the creek, there has to be a backup crew here at the station. We just don't take our guys and go down the beach and leave the community without any support. So before our guys cross the creek, we have to have a backup crew here.
Okay, Mary?
Mary Lucy Oceano. Well, first of all, I would like it documented that is extremely misleading information. And if you look at the budget for the the projected budget that's coming in, you're asking for an increase of $145,000 from the people of Oceano. And that came out in our packet today, and I could sit there and work the numbers, and in fact, Nancy will probably follow me. So that simply is not true that it's not going to cost us anything. You know, I want that in writing, how you come up with these numbers. It amazes me, you know. It just flabbergasts me. So I'd like to go back to the contract. And I hope there's not a traffic jam down on the beach with AG and Grover and CDF and Oceano all responding, you know, because then we're going to have to put a damn stoplight out there.
Cap that the state has put here has nothing to do with the cost of operations on the beach. It is only with regard to the purchase of the vehicle. We could, in theory, presumably this board would not do that.
Theory means
but in
hypothetical.
Theory, you could go and spend as much as you wanted to for this vehicle. The state is willing to pay 2/3 of the cost of the vehicle up to the cap of $50,000. It has nothing to do with the operations out on the beach.
They also have put a cap of, correct me if I'm wrong, because I hope people do correct me if I'm wrong, of a cap of $7,200 per year towards expenses to provide that service for 7 years without an increase in living. Does that mean that my sewer bill and my trash bill and my water bill is not going to go up?
Our fire department budget, it's called an enterprise fund, and you're right, Dave. I'm sorry. But the fire department funds cannot be commingled with water, sewer, or
Clarify my question. The state has put a cap of not that we will receive $7,000 a year for services.
No, the state has offered to pay 2/3 of the cost of this vehicle, not to exceed $50,000. And you can do the math. This is a 7-year arrangement, and it works out if you amortize that over 7 years, it's about $7,250.
Oh, so there isn't any extra for services. They just offered to pay 2/3 of the truck for their services. That's mighty generous of the state. I mean, I gave them credit thinking they were going to kick in an extra $7,000. I'm sorry I gave them that credit. Okay, and then also, too, is I have problems with this contract as well. Once again, you know, there's an administrative cost to run these programs. You know, and if there's no line item in here to support our office and the people who help run that fire department, then it's coming out of our pockets. It just doesn't mysteriously show up in the bank, you know, and there's no mention of running it. You know, and for every time Grover Beach gets a call for a dispatcher, don't think Grover doesn't bill us 150%, even though we gave him free water.
Mary, can I respect
okay, so I need you to rework number 7. And I need you to rework number 5. And then also it implies that it has to be a full-time paid firefighter driving this truck on the beach because they have to be covered by state comp, insurance. They have to be a full-time employee to get all those benefits. And if that's not true, then please, I'd love the right information.
Mark Pomper, Oceano.
Hold on.
Excuse me, Mark. Would you like some clarification on that item? I think I would.
I think I would, too, on the last comment you made there.
Did we look into the GTCs here, and how does that play out as far as a full-time staff position?
You don't have our firefighters now are not full-time. They're covered by workers' comp. They're covered by insurance.
Okay.
So they have full benefits, and they're not full-time paid 40-hour-a-week employees?
You cannot hire anyone without paying for the workers' comp. I mean, you can't have an employee. Well, you can, I guess. I mean, if you want to be...
If you want to go to jail.
Yeah, you but, you know, following the law, our employees who are not full-time, who are provisional at this particular juncture, are paid workers' comp.
Great.
So there isn't a requirement that they're full-time?
No.
Just that they're paid workers' comp? Okay.
Well,
all right.
I mean, you have, if you hire anybody, you have to pay workers' comp.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay.
Okay, other public comment?
Right here. Mark? Mark Wampler, Oceano. First of all, I have yet to see or recall any bad calls that President Hill has made since November. Based on that, I would concur with your judgment, sir. If you say no on this issue, I agree. And the rest of the board, I think, ought to fall in line. Second of all, the state thinks it's their beach. We think it's our beach. The state, they think it's their beach. And right now, the state is in a budget crunch. And they're not about to, unless they're absolutely held in a headlock, to give anything, any compensation. If they can at all help it, in my point of view, I say no on this, and I concur with you, President Hill.
One thing
I... ...a better deal for the state, and certainly for the people that use the beach, than it is for Oceano. And I think I understand Director Bookout's idea that we need to put something out there to try to get something back, and every good gardener knows that you have to plant that seed on faith. But that having been said, just on the face of the deal itself, I have to support your position, Director Hill, that on the face of the deal, it's really not a good deal for us monetarily. It's not clear what the bottom line is, and that's been spoken to by a previous speaker. And I see a lot of costs here, and I see us looking at a minimum of $67,000 plus that we're going to front, plus then we are talking about added equipment and operational costs and training and et cetera, et cetera. So I don't see the bottom line here, and that, frankly, leaves me unconvinced that this is really in the best interest of the district, all the good arguments for it notwithstanding. And it brings me to the question of what's good for the district, particularly with regard to fire services. When the task force was formed, after we missed the window of opportunity to become involved with the shared resources agreement between Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande that's working so well, we asked that the task force be formed, and I personally asked for it to be a task force because I wanted it to have some teeth. And one of the things that we were explicit about at that time was that we wanted to be included in this shared resources agreement. And we were told at that time by the board that we'd be looking at trying to make that happen. And here we are a year down the line plus, and I don't see any discussion of that. I don't see us any closer to that. And that, in my opinion, is where we need to go. And that's where I hear a lot of people in the district express a wish, a desire to go. I'm asking that the board heed this and that you make tracks to take us there. And finally, we've heard discussions tonight about whose beach it is. Well, you're all wrong. It belongs to the Valley people.
Karen White, Halcyon, with just a short statement that's completely different from Peggy. Morally, well, let's first say that fire departments were the first thing created by the American people, New York, Chicago, wherever you want to look. And ever since then, fire departments have been what has founded all of our communities. The first thing we went for was fire and then water. And morally, this is the closest fire department to that beach. So just looking at it from a moral standpoint, these are the firemen who are going to respond there when somebody's life is in danger, when property is in danger. And I think in this case, no matter what it costs, if we have an opportunity to get them the best equipment to go down to that beach, they're going to go anyway, no matter what. If they take their own cars, they're going to go. I've been around fire departments for 40 years. Let's at least give them something to get down there with. Okay? Thank you.
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. Is this the right time to talk about the fire budget?
Budget, well, right now this is about the contemplation of a joint powers agreement to purchase the...
Is the joint powers agreement tied into the fire department budget?
No.
So, but the budget is on the agenda?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, it's in our packet. It was attached.
I don't know. What's in your packet?
I don't have a budget yet.
I didn't have one either.
Fire budget 1-4200 expenditures fiscal year 2005-2006. Isn't that relevant to this agenda item?
That was just inadvertently copied. It shouldn't be part of the packet. It's a draft that is.
Oh, we inadvertently got the financials? Okay, well, if I can't talk about the budget, then I will say that I really like the truck. It's really cool looking. But, you know, since we are like the Oceano recreating community, let's like monster it up. Put some big tires on there, raise it up, make it a dune truck. You know, if you're going to go for it, you're going to cross a creek and you're going to go out there, you're going to use that truck to be the Oceano Dune Fire Department, then, yeah, spruce it up. I don't see that in the budget, but I guess I can't talk about the budget.
Max Padilla, Oceano. Then you should consider a truly joint agreement with the state of California.
Thank you. Other public comment?
Director Hill, Board, Lon Mikowski, Oceano. I'd like to thank Director Hill for your comments and your voicing your concerns. While you were doing so, they were the same concerns I was going to stand up here and voice myself. In addition to the benefit to our community under the current contract and under the value of that contract. It's my opinion, and it's only my opinion, that a contract that serves a state is good for the state. It's very rarely good for anyone else. And in this case, I believe it's not good for Oceano. I never thought that we should have entered into the agreement with the state in the first place, and I'd like to get out of it as soon as possible. The state has its own resources. That's a state beach. They want to hand it over to Oceano and let us reap the benefits of the beach, of the income that beach generates for the state. Then I have no problem with sending our people down there to take care of the emergencies that happen. But this is a state beach. And I think the state needs to operate the beach completely and not rely on our tax dollars to do its job. So I'm with you voting no, and I urge the rest of the board to vote no also on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comment?
Nancy McNeil, Oceano. The expenditure budget was attached to the joint powers agreement. And since this is the agenda item, I do have a couple questions about the budget, or just to bring a few things to your attention. Like for example...
Excuse me, President Hill. That was attached to the fire committee agenda.
Which was attached to the joint...
I believe it.
It's not attached to the copy that I have, and I believe that if it was attached, it was in an inadvertent error.
Well, then inadvertently, I would like to point out again that the budget proposed for next year is a $145,000 increase over the budget for last year, and that there are items that are missing from this budget that are expenditures, such as what percentage of administrative time goes to running the fire department. There's miscellaneous items on here, like you have telephone and communications and postage. So if postage and telephone is the way you communicate, What is the communications line item for? $7,500. There's no light item for rent. There's a line item for almost $10,000 for professional services.
I have to apologize. You have me at a disadvantage because I don't have a copy of that.
Okay. Well, just to bring to your attention the increases in the proposed budget for next year, it's a 45% increase in services and supplies, and it's an $85,000 increase in staff.
Is that a work in progress, or is that the budget?
That was the draft budget, I believe, that was attached to the item in the fire committee. That goes to all the directors, but it's not attached to the document in tonight's
agenda. It's not on. It's for the fire committee meeting of May 24th, according to what Vern has here. Is that correct? So that item would be addressed at the fire committee meeting
yesterday.
So we may have a report from the fire committee later, but other than that, it's not on this agenda.
So, can we have a question?
She wants her paper back.
I'll return this to you at a break.
Okay, Nina Oceano. Okay, this is an agreement between, I didn't get the whole packet, so just correct me if I'm wrong somewhere, but this is an agreement between the state and OCSD?
That's correct.
Okay, and there's going to incur some additional cost to OCSD to enter into this agreement?
That's correct.
Okay, where are we getting this money from? Then why is the county not going to, we know the county's not going to collect the money, but we don't know what's going to happen to replace it?
Currently, that's correct, is it not?
No, what happened is we spoke here at the board, there is a hiatus period. The county is closing their old ordinance, and they will be distributing the funds to the districts that were involved in the old ordinance. They will be reintroducing the new ordinance. We have communicated with the county on several occasions back and forth, and we will be included in the new ordinance, which most likely will go into effect around August, but there is a hiatus period between when they stopped, and I don't know if it was on their agenda for Tuesday, and I don't know what the action taken was on Tuesday.
My understanding was that it passed,
okay.
Which means that the fees would no longer be collected under the old agreement.
And the money would be distributed. What the county wanted was a period of time to get their accountings in order so they didn't keep trying to chase a moving target. They wanted to, you know, close situation, so when they send us a check, they say, this is it, this is your check. And then the new ordinance would take effect for all those who want to opt in. They've given everyone the option to opt in or opt out. This board has chosen to opt in, and so we will be part of the new ordinance, which takes effect sometime in August.
Right, so they're just going to reassess their schedule of fees, how much they're going to charge. Basically, I think is what's happening. Because it's going to go up. The percentage that they're going to, you know, charge you for fire is going to, or charge any developer for fire is probably going to go up. It's part of their budget process. They're always increasing fees. So that's probably why there's that window there where they're not sure what they're going to do because they're not sure how much they're going to raise it. Does that make sense?
I think that's happening. That's a correct assessment.
Yeah. Okay. So we're still going to get money from that. Probably that'll be an increase in the budget because probably fees are going to be going up. Okay. Well, so at this point then we're not counting on any money coming in from this proposed or somebody's dream of having a fire tax placed on the people of Oceano. That's not being included in any of these figures, right?
No, it's not.
Okay, good, because I'm against that tax. Basically, because I want to just say that it's been misrepresented to the people. When it was first discussed, the public had put forth the idea about, you know, well, that the survey that this that is being conducted in regards to the tax will be conducted by students from Cal Poly.
I think we're a little off topic about that subject. I probably share some of your concerns, but this is not the time to discuss it. This item is basically related to this particular proposed agreement with the state. And
okay, can we talk about it during the report, the fire report?
That may be a more appropriate time if the fire committee has a report on that subject.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Hearing, Craig?
Take it. My name is Craig Angelo. I live here in Oceano. One thing that's being misunderstood about this whole agreement is that it's not just an agreement from the state and us. It's also involving CDF because we already have an agreement, an automatic aid and mutual aid agreement. It's not changing anything in that. All this resolution is saying is that they're going to help us purchase a vehicle. They'll provide us with a safer vehicle and be able to go down there and do our job that we already have to do, regardless of what we have in our apparatus bay. If there's something out in the dunes in the far back, we've responded out there for a vehicle TC. We've had to cut people out of vehicles with our jaws alive. Now, the way that we have to go down there now is I have to meet them here in my personal truck. We load the jaws up, put a couple of guys in there, and get down there as quick as we possibly can in my own personal vehicle. Okay. What's that? No, the state usually is already on their way down there. We're not able to meet the state in most cases. So basically, we have a Type 3 vehicle that is a four-wheel drive, but it can't get off the hard-packed sand. Okay, which also, if it's gone during the summer months on a wildland fire somewhere else, we can't even use it. So we have pretty much nil to get down there and save someone's life. So that's what this agreement is for, is to help us provide a better service down there for the people that can get injured. And it's also going to help us here in the community with another vehicle that we can respond to traffic collisions, vegetation fires. We can get into something else I want to say that I can't remember. But I just want to clarify that it's not going to increase our call volume to the beach or for any.
Okay. It doesn't increase any of our responsibilities to the beach either.
No. All it is, we already have an automatic aid agreement with everybody in the five cities and county. Basically, it's no different than us being called out to Arroyo Grande for a structure fire. We have an automatic aid agreement to go there. We get called, we go. You know, then we'll have backup crew come in, fill up, get on the second engine, and get ready for another call. We also have what we call move-up and cover engine, which usually comes from CDF. And if all three of the cities, Arroyo, Grover, Oceano, are on a call, and Pismo, for that fact, they'll have another engine come stage at Highway 1 or 101 and Oak Park and cover the entire five cities. And that is done automatically anytime there's a large incident dispatch.
That's a CDF.
That's a CDF dispatching. It's what we call the black book. It's got every type of call matchable in there. Now, as far as the dunes go, we have an automatic aid agreement and a mutual aid agreement to go out there for any type of fires, vehicle accidents requiring extrication with the jaws of life, and any large instances where the state is being overwhelmed and they just simply need as much help as they can get, like mass casualties or whatever, a bus rolls over or something.
Craig, when you're saying the state, you mean CDF?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, you know, it's no different, no extra liability than if we send an engine to the Mesa or El Grande or Grover Beach. It's no different. The only difference is that we're going on the sand, which, you know, I know people are going to raise the question, well, that is more dangerous than going on the road. There's more accidents on the highway than there is on that beach. And I personally went through and spec'd out this equipment. I have a lifetime of experience on the beach. I did 7 years of towing down there. I know what will work, and I know what won't work. And we had the specs laid out, and then Los Osos turned up saying, hey, well, we have ours for sale. I went up there, I crawled underneath it, crawled on top of it, went completely through it, and it will work with very small modification. So I just want to clarify that that is not going to increase our call volume out there, and you know, any more than it already is. It's not going to increase our responsibility by any means. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Craig for making a lot of clarifications and drawing the comparison between the other collaborations. That's very beneficial. The only small difference about this is that...
Could you address your comments to the...
Oh, I'm sorry. The only small difference is that the state of California is capitalizing off our efforts. Arroyo Grande, the Mesa, our neighbors, you don't pay to drive through their towns. And then they provide fire service. They're not charging us to drive down Grand Avenue. The state of California is capitalizing us. So the stronger their services are out there, you know, the more money they make, really. I mean, they're making over $5 million off that beach on the end of Pier. And Oceano is spending our slim taxpayer dollars on it. So that's the opposition. It's strictly about money.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
I like the way Craig described this vehicle and also Nancy with the big tires. I think that's great. I think that's a perfect description that the state ought to take and buy that vehicle with the jaws of life and all the bells and whistles and let them go down there and take care of the recreators and leave us alone.
We're going to have to limit discussion on this to one comment per person.
Okay, I just wanted to add just something I forgot to mention last time, is that if you think about it, you know, it feels to me like the state is really taking advantage of Oceano, because first of all, they're not taking care of Highway 1, okay? And so as long as Highway 1 is still flooding, then we're not going to get any real business growth along Highway 1, which means that we're not going to have any tax revenue coming into this area from any kind of business or sales tax on there. So we're being squashed down by the state that way. Then plus also you've got, you know, the beach here, which they're charging a fee, you know, to go down there. I live here, but I got to pay if I want to go down there unless I walk, right? And so I'm paying them for that, but they're not going to take care of the road. And now they want us to respond to calls on their property, but I don't know that they're really giving us anything.
That's the agreement. So when they say we need help on the beach, whether we have the new truck or not, we have to go. Is that correct?
According to, I believe that's correct, according to the current agreement.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with this agreement. I'm not talking about this agreement. I'm talking about the current mutual aid, is that what it's called, David? Agreement that we have with CDF, California Department of
Forestry.
Yeah, it's called an automatic agreement.
An automatic agreement. Okay. Do they have that agreement with Grover to go on to the beach?
As far as I know, they don't have an agreement to go to the beach, except they could be, if they were requested by Grover to go down there for whatever reason, I'm sure Grover has a automatic aid or a mutual aid agreement
with CDF?
CDF also.
Okay, just I didn't know whether they did or not.
There's other parallels that haven't been looked at or considered. For instance, the county owns the airport down there, and they charge to store planes there and what have you. And if there's a problem down there, we go to the county airport, and even though they're benefiting from resources from the airport, same thing with the county campground down there. There's no difference. We go down there, and the county charges to use that county airport, campground. Same thing would happen on a mutual aid call to Lopez Lake or anywhere that any department may be called for help. I mean, it's not limited to just Oceano. They'll call whoever has resources available to go wherever in the state they need to go. I mean, we send trucks down south. One of the big fires we had last year was at Santa Maria. We got called out for a mutual aid agreement with Santa Maria. One of their packing sheds was on fire down there. It was one of the largest fires that ever happened in Santa Maria, and we took part in that. And we don't get a dime from Santa Maria. So, you know, I don't know why there's so much concern about us just following the mutual aid agreement that we have right now with more adequate equipment that the state has offered to pay for or pay a big percentage of. And I think they're being a good neighbor by this offer. That's what I think.
Yeah, I had one other question about the facility fees. Facility fees, they can only be used for building, is that not correct?
No, they can be used for building or fire equipment, new fire equipment, additional fire equipment is considered a facility.
Okay, so it's, but not for
staffing? Not for staffing, not for replacement equipment. It has to be additional or new equipment.
Okay, so that money is really limited, the
yes,
facility.
Very limited.
Thank you.
Other board comment?
Bill?
Go ahead.
You know, it is true that there is a inconsistency here where, and we all see it, we all feel it, to where we are paying in Oceano for the fire protection of the state beach. And this is an attempt to start trying to get some money from the state to help pay for some of that that protection. And they are recognizing it as well. If we were to back out of any of our mutual aid agreements, what that would mean is that that if we could not respond to a fire in Oceano, there would be no other fire departments required to respond here. And in addition, if there was an accident or something on the beach out there, the CDF, who is responsible for the beach, has a fire station up on the mesa out there by the oil refinery. Pardon me?
Can I interject on that?
Please do. If there's anything that I'm not clear on.
It may help you if you're safe.
Okay.
Just sit down up here front, Craig.
Yeah, sure. The fire station you're referring to, the Mesa Station, Station 22, mm-hmm. does not have a four-wheel drive vehicle all year round. They have it during the summer months for a while in season. Most of the time it's gone somewhere else. The closest unit that you're going to find is San Luis Airport.
Okay.
From CDF.
Okay, but the closest stations, even without equipment to respond, would be number 22 up there,
yes,
by there,
22
or
64 Pismo. Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of time, a lot of difference in time, a lot of loss in life. And it is an opportunity for the state to start kicking in some money for the protection that they're getting, and more than just the mutual aid, because they already are kicking
aid. We wouldn't automatically go there. But there are some automatic aid agreements, which we would be dispatched automatically, such as a fire in Aurora Grande, a fire in Grover Beach. We would automatically be dispatched to those incidences.
I guess my concern is we already have the equipment to make appropriate responses in other similar communities. I have to say I agree with Mr. Mikowski that I don't think we have any business really agreeing to do support where we don't have proper equipment. So I guess that's my concern with that. And as well as the fact that this community, again, if the state's operating a facility in the character of the beach and they're not providing enough rescue, again, the state takes in an incredible amount of money in that beach and we get nothing. And I don't care how many businesses line Front Street, we don't get 1 cent of tax revenue from those businesses, whereas Grover and Arroyo Grande and the other communities can claim some sales tax revenue from people who come to the beach and spend money in the community. There's a direct benefit to those other communities that we don't have. And it seems to me that requiring the citizens of Oceano to kick in, you know, 25 grand plus to purchase the vehicle, then more money to outfit it, then all of the cost of operation and maintenance is not reasonable for the return. But that's just my opinion.
How many years have we had this automatic aid with CDF?
It was signed December 12, 2001.
And before that, did we have automatic aid with them?
Well, we've always had a mutual aid agreement, not necessarily an automatic aid.
Jim, one more comment.
We're not opposed to the mutual aid agreement. If we've always agreed to it and we've always responded, just leave it be like it is. Let's not sign a special agreement with the state and give us more responsibility and liability. Let's leave that mutual aid like it is, and we'll respond to it there.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we'll look for a motion.
I'm going to make one statement. Local businesses, Grover Beach, Oceano, Pismo Beach, we're dependent on tourism coming into our area. And the tourism that comes into the Oceano Beach, per se, is they need response if something happens down there. We are the closest to the beach down there. This new engine will allow us to get there without having to use someone's personal truck to get down on the beach. Just the other day, we had an accident here in Oceano where the jaws of life was used. And one person, I believe, died from this accident, and one person has lived and is in the hospital currently. That same accident could have happened on the beach, and those jaws of life could have been used on the beach. If we're able to respond before anyone else, before the airport and San Luis Obispo fire trucks can get there, then by all means, we need to respond. These people that come here to our beach, we're responsible for them, like any other community around here. We're the closest. This truck is not just for the beach. This truck is for our community. And to get there, this is a means to get there. This also opens up other roads with the state parks for future money and funding to operate and help our fire department progress to the future. I'm in favor. I hope you are too.
You know, this inconsistency that is here is one of the things. Trip we took to Sacramento, we did talk to our representatives on this subject to try to work out something that is going to be more mutually fair between the state and Oceano. But this is bringing some money toward us and some money into the community for equipment here.
Okay, we've had public comment. We've had board discussion on the.
You're not listening.
Excuse me, Mark.
Well, I'm sorry. You're not listening. The people have said, I don't care. The state thinks it's their beach,
comment,
and they better take care of it.
The item's back with the board. So I'll look for a motion. Pardon me? I'll look for a motion one way or the other.
I'll move to adopt resolution 2005-14.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 2005-14, and I would direct staff to...